Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Pivotal Change. I'm your host, Ryan Kahn with CS Business Consulting, and this is a show that is all about leadership, influence, gaining influence or growing your influence, business entrepreneurs, and people that just want to be able to run and be a part of a team better. Finding that one or two things that will help you make that pivotal change down your path to success. Tonight's a pretty fun episode because we have Daryl Steed with us. He is a consultant with over 15 years in the industry of helping dealerships and the automotive industry build their high-performance teams and transform their businesses. He is with Smart Wolf Consulting, and he is going to be with us for the entire episode tonight. So, Daryl, welcome aboard.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, guys. I absolutely love talking about the automotive space and helping people change culture and, you know, improve their business. So this will be a great show to be able to talk about that.
Well, I appreciate you coming here. And we're going to talk about a lot of very interesting categories in which you are an expert and can help not just the automotive industry, but the entire audience, who, by the way, I tell to watch the show with a pen and paper and take notes. So if you get a little moment where they need to jot something down, don't forget to remind them about that. But Daryl, I want to start off with this. You have kind of a little motto, a little cliche saying that you say all the time about truth. And I'd like the audience to hear that from your mouth.
Yeah, so I really wanted to attack that. And so we came up with a trademark phrase. It's the truth hurts only when it should. And it was really designed for when we hear something and we get offended, it's because either a piece of us know it's true or we know it's true to the perception. And it's how do we make the hurt stop, right? Let's take the truth, let's print it into us, and let's get better on ourselves, better with what we do. So we don't have to worry about having to be offended by things that don't bother us.
I like that. I like that a lot. A lot of self-reflection right off the get-go. And so truth is often, and in fact, is tied at its core to being able to build trust and give information that you're going to be able to reflect on or use. So I want to talk about trust kind of leading off the show here. Is what does trust look like in leadership? And how have you learned about that, maybe even the hard way?
Oh, I've definitely had a lot of hard lessons. Keeping it short, right? We don't have hours to tell the life story, but I had a childhood that, needless to say, foster care, moving around, not so great, which people have had it worse than me, but you learn a lot of lessons. And trust for me, specifically being a leader, starts with vulnerability. You've got to be able to let people in, and that's very scary, and that's very open and raw. And they need to see, though, that you're fallible. And that you make mistakes, and then you lead from following. And so that's where the truth hurts only when it should is people would say things like, and I use the thing is, well, if you called someone's girlfriend ugly, well, if they don't think they're ugly, they just laugh it off. But if they do, they get offended. Well, it's, you have to kind of take some of those truths and say, if I feel this way, why? And how do I lead people to being in a better place to where they have more confidence? They can get to where they're going. And they don't have these issues that kind of get out of that. And so by gaining someone's trust is put yourself out there and let them know you're no different than them. We might do things differently. We might make different amount of money. But at the end of the day, we're all people and we just need to help each other out.
I like that a lot. We are all people. One of the hard lessons I also try to say is the same thing. It's like they're a person just like you. Maybe they're at this point in their life in an elevated position, but they are and will remain a person just like you, and you can achieve what they achieve. You're going to make mistakes like they make mistakes. And I really appreciate you putting, again, into the lap of leaders, the self-reflection that you have to lead from vulnerability and from a fallible position, because if people are looking at you as this idol of a human, the moment that comes where you have a failure, that's going to be pretty crushing, pretty disappointing to a lot of people. But if you lead from vulnerability, it'll be expected, a learning opportunity and moving forward. So kind of in that trust story, because like you said, we can't tell the whole life story, but I would like to hear about maybe a time when somebody took a risk on you, when somebody took a risk and trusted you first. And what was that? Tell us how that worked out and played into your future.
Yeah. So to kind of, before I start with that, is that service before self. So it really started, I was in the military, 17 years old, out of this high school, went in the military, service before self. So I'm a servant leader, always give everything first, which is both a good thing and a bad thing, right? It's both my strength and weakness. And I had an opportunity, and I'm going to give the shout out. I've had a lot of really good mentors, but the first one was a gentleman named Billy Knowlton. He was kind of what you expect. He was this distinguished gentleman, and he came in a suit and tie, three-piece suit. I mean, he just looked the part. And he was a GM, but he was really about changing the perception of the business. And we're talking in 04, like 03, 04. And he brought everybody in that was a manager or wanted to be a manager and taught them the statement and advertising. And he said, you got a job to do, but as long as you've gotten that part of it done, you want to be here, you can be here. And really wanted people to be empowered by understanding and knowing how the business worked rather than hiding it from them and then making them navigate through the dark. And so that was kind of the first thing I saw from a mentor of don't be afraid to show everybody everything. They still have to do their job. They don't get to do this and then to be distracted, but don't
Right.
keep it from them so that you're holding them down, right? Really make sure that you give them the ability to escalate or climb as they want to.
I like that a lot. I like the transparency component to that is, we're not going to get distracted from what your role and responsibilities are, but here's the whole picture and here's what's happening behind the scenes, causing the stress, causing the successes. And maybe everybody knows a little bit more how they fit into the master machine as their cog in the wheel a little bit more. And I think what you started off that question with, the servant before self, if I'm correct, that's Air Force motto,
It
Air
is Air
Force.
Force, yes, sir.
And that's a big one for me. We have the seven pillars of leadership that we operate on here, and the seven pillars stand on servanthood, servant leadership. So I think that's a common theme that you're going to find a lot of profound leaders and people making changes, not just in their industries, but across the country like you are. So I appreciate those highlights there. So once you've had somebody take that risk, which the mentor that you mentioned took a risk and started to help transform you and open up with some vulnerability, there had to be some type of change in you and the people around you. Maybe there's some habits or some key choices that you made, but what was it that helped you consistently build trust with your team or your audience after you'd learned from your mentor?
It took a few years, right? I was younger, so very immature, but getting that first lesson was great. It was the foundation of understanding not to overreact, right? To ask more questions rather than pass judgment, right? It was, seek for understanding rather than to comment based on opinion. And so now when I do a lot of coaching and training, it's really, really difficult for people to engage with because I'm going to ask questions and lead them to understanding their own answers. And take the excuses away. So when people will say, well, because of this or because of that, and I'm like, okay, if I take that away, you'd be more successful. If I gave you this, you'd be more successful. And they say, yes, I'm gonna give them everything and I'm gonna remove all the roadblocks because then we put the mirror in front of them and now it's on us. And now we can lead from a place of, you told me, I didn't tell you anything. You told me that if we did these things, you would be more successful. But it allows two things to happen. One, you're empowering people to what they think they want. Two, when and if it fails, or I should say, if and when it fails, they are now more open to being receptive that you're there to help them rather than hold them back.
I really appreciate the dichotomy in what you said. There is an ownership on your side saying, I'm the servant leader. I'm here to provide you the resources and opportunities to be as successful as possible. Again, in pointing to whatever the mission of the organization is. And I'm going to remove the obstacles in doing that. So, one, you actually have an open door and you can just run through that door.
Sure.
But two, we're going to undercut and have accountability that people like to pre-program excuses for a potential failure. There's embarrassment, maybe some shame when somebody doesn't live up to their expectations. But now you've removed those barriers and those excuses at the same time. That's a great example of expectations and opportunities and boundaries. And I really, really think that that's going to motivate a lot of people to achieve their best. And you don't have to sit here and prod them along. So, now, let's say you've done that and you get to the point where you've removed the obstacles, you've opened that door for them, but the trust gets broken somehow. Where do you begin to repair the trust? How do you do it without losing more momentum than you've already lost?
Well, that's a really great question. So I think a lot of people say when you I give trust right out of the gate, you have 100% from me. Like I'm not the one you have to earn it from. I'm just going to give it to you. So when you break it, I think people say, oh, burn me once, shame on me, burn me twice. Like I think it has to be very dependent on the situation, right? Like if they didn't do a job, right? Like really now we're just going to light them on fire and say they're dead to us. I think that's kind of juvenile in thinking. So you have to understand, did they break the trust or did they not understand or do they not have the ability to do what you need them to do because they haven't learned it yet. So we need to understand where did we define the trust was broken and was it broken or do they still need more learning, coaching and training to get to a point where they now know what the broken trust looks like. They may still not have the ability or the skill set or confidence to get to a point to execute what you've asked them to do, which means they didn't break your trust. They're still learning.
I 100% agree with that. I don't like to punish mistakes. Maybe if you make the same mistake 37 times, we got a problem. We need to have a conversation. But two or three times, four times, and seven times in the more complex scenarios is a learning curve. And oftentimes, what more people need is just more time or reps. So your statement there is, did they really break your trust, or do they just need X, Y, and Z? But the examples that you provided, I think, is a pretty profound way of thinking for most people, because they want it. I showed you once, showed you twice, I want it done this way. And then they default to the person's incompetent or unwilling or whatever it is. It's often not a heart issue like that, but possibly a mentorship issue. And in law enforcement, I was in charge of police training. And I always told, as the supervisor, I told the other training officers, their ability to succeed is a direct reflection of you as their first and foremost mentor. So if they're failing, I'm going to look at you and what you are doing or not doing. And that's kind of that accountability and leadership. So let me do this. I want to put a pin in this conversation because we're going to transition it just a little bit right after this commercial break. But let's hold it a pin right here and come back. We're going to take a quick commercial timeout. We'll be right back with more Daryl and more Pivotal Change right after this. Welcome back from the break with Pivotal Change. And if you are liking what you are watching, or you like shows just like this, make sure that you don't miss a moment of Pivotal Change. You can find us on Now Media TV and all of your favorite shows there. They're live on demand, so you can watch them anytime, anywhere. Additionally, you can download our new Now Media TV app. It's on Roku, it's on iOS, and you can get full instant access to that lineup. And it is bilingual. You get both English and Spanish options. And even if you prefer just to listen to a show like this on the go, you can catch us in podcast format and listen on the road or anytime that you're traveling. Download us for the airplane ride. Just go to the TV website, nowmedia.tv. It's 24/7 availability for you, and it's streaming wherever and whenever you are. So we are now back with more Daryl Steed, and we are ready to continue this conversation that was awesome on trust. So we stuck a pin in the conversation about trust. And the pen and notepad is ready for our listeners. Can you give us just one thing our listeners can say or do that can start rebuilding trust around them, possibly today or this week, even as much as an action item?
Yeah, I mean, I would fully suggest, guys, give trust. Like, give it out of the gate right from go. The old adage, not to say it's not doesn't work, but the old adage of you have to earn my trust and my respect before you give it. I mean, we've been doing that for 50 years and it hasn't been as successful as we'd like it to be. So just give trust 100% out of the gate and let people prove you wrong. 90% of the time, most people are inherently good and they want to do the right thing. But we keep up these walls that then make them earn it, and that's where the barrier starts. So give it out of the gate, and my guess is you'll probably see a slightly better response in how your tone, your communication, and your engagement.
I like that so much. Default setting is to give trust. And honestly, instead of them having to work so hard to earn it, they actually have to prove you wrong and break the trust. So that's a really 180-degree model and mindset, which I am completely pro. So let's say you've established the trust with your people. You've got this culture starting to move forward, and you're ready to explode and increase your bandwidth. But you're in a climate, a world, or an industry that is really just clouded with noise and advertising and messaging, and you need to be able to reach hundreds, if not thousands, of people. How do you do it? How do you shape people to actually listen to your message and separate you from the noise?
Well, so this is going to be something not a lot of people are going to be particularly comfortable in hearing is when you have a lot of noise, consistency drowns out noise. So I live in California, and if any of you guys have ever been to the state, there's a lot of great things about it, but there is a lot of noise in California, from political to fires to natural disasters, things of that nature. And so you hear noise all the time, but it's in moments. So if you want to be in like automotive or in retail or in the social sphere, you have to be consistent and you have to be your genuine self. You can't do gimmicks. You can't do dance challenges. You have to say, this is who I am. This is what I do. And it may take you 3 months. It may take you 6 months. It may take you a year. And as people start passing by, they may only catch a clip, but then they catch two and three. The ones that stay the course and understand what they're doing, that's how you drown out the noise, because the noise fades when the real voices are always there to be consistent.
I like that. So really simply put, consistency is the key. And then you mentioned being genuine, your authentic self. And I may ask you a question about that here in a minute. But if you're going to try to be consistent, you're going to try not to participate in the noise, but again, a genuine message, there's got to be some type of system. There's got to be some type of like tools or workflow that you're using or people can use to produce that consistency. Can you help us with that?
I mean, yeah, I think it's different with every business unit, right? Like, so for automotive, there's tools that like social grenade that'll help you with social, so it keeps you consistent. Like I use StreamYard, which is how I do my podcast and things of that nature, so that it tells me when I need to do them. You've got tools like Canva and CapCut, where I mean, it essentially does everything for you. Like you put it in there, and then it fires off your 10 shorts. And so there's all these tools you need to know. You do need to spend the time to learn them, so you're not just like, blindfolded point and click. But you also need to understand what's the message you want to get across. So mine's always about, on my podcast, leadership and how people get where they need to be and how the other coaches can empower, engage, and enhance what they do. But if you're like a podcast, like a Joe Rogan or whatever else, and you're there to talk about current events and create controversy, then you just need to stay the course. You can't be, today we're talking about politics, tomorrow we're talking about food reviews, right? Like you need to have a voice to so that people go like, if I wanted to learn about leadership and they like you and they trust you, then they're going to go to you. If they want to learn about food reviews, don't come to me. I'm not talking about food reviews, other than the fact I love food.
I love food as well, but yeah, I'm not going to be your master chef that gives you the flavor palette you're looking for, right? So that's pretty good about staying consistent to who you are, what your theme, your purpose, kind of your vision is, and not getting derailed. So just always coming back and asking your question, is this tangential to me or is this primary me? And stay on the primary. So have you ever experienced any real like challenges in keeping yourself authentic and consistent at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I deal with it every day. You've got a lot of buzzwords in our demographic in automotive right now. You got AI, basically Skynet wants to take over the world. And then you've got EVs, right? EVs, the new buzzword. And you've got social media. And so people will make a lot of noise in these areas. And I typically try to stay out of where everyone's at. Not because I don't want to have an opinion or a statement on it, but it's one of those where if it's a trend, it's usually more opinions than facts. And I want to deal with things that we know are actionable and that we can do today, rather than talk about hypotheticals that we're taught that we have no proof or have or concept to making them work.
I like that. So avoid the hypotheticals. I would say, unless that is your theme, is to, ponder the future. But avoid the hypotheticals. Know what is current, relative, and actionable. I like those words that you brought up here. We have the same thing. The accounting world changes all the time. Now it's a political game to change the tax code, where it used to be the tax code is the tax code. We might do one or two big things every decade. Now there's 37 new tax laws as of last week with the big beautiful bill. And if we were to, every time a bill presents itself in front of the House, Congress, start speculating, we're gonna spin our tires, we're gonna confuse our clients. We need to wait till they pass the bill, have the precedence of how this is gonna react, even the forms to do this, and then advise our clients. So don't get distracted. Don't start pondering the future unless that's your job, and stay the course. So is there some things that we can do as far as like scaling your platform by using consistency, like increasing your outreach, your bandwidth, anything like that? You mentioned some software, some AI tools. What are some ways that you've done that?
So it's just being vigilant, right? Like anything you like, keep the main thing or make the main thing, make the main thing. So if I need to grow my audience. So I have a TikTok account, I have Facebook, I have Instagram, I have Threads. I don't have Snapchat, but I have LinkedIn. Is I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day and something's going to get posted, or I'm going to spend 30 minutes every other day. You need to understand what you're doing. And then I was just on a podcast before this, and we really talked about understanding what the goal of each one of those things is. You can't just say, I'm posting for the sake of posting, or I want to have an audience. Is each one of those social spheres or your audience engages in a different way and usually typically has a different age range. Cater the message to the voice that you're in. So if I'm trying to go after a younger demographic, I'm going to do videos that are going to be more engaging for TikTok for younger. If I'm going more business side, that would be more LinkedIn. So you do need to spend a little bit of time. But again, if you want your voice to be heard, make it relevant to the audience you're talking to.
I think that is sage, wise old advice of know your audience, know your target audience, and your message will ultimately be the same message, but it'll be tweaked and geared to your
Sure.
audience so they can best receive it. Like we're a bilingual network, so we wouldn't go to an audience of Spanish-speaking people and only speak English. That would be a pretty big faux pas. So speak the language of your audience, both metaphorically and literally, so that you can best land and get yourself separated from the noise. So what's one thing, maybe let's do another action item. What's one thing or that someone can do this week to get their message heard and remembered or acted on by the person that receives it?
So let's say you haven't heard a response from somebody. And we live in a world of texting and communication, everything else. I just did it today, right? Change the way you're communicating. And when I say change it, not what you're intending on doing, but I hadn't heard back from someone that said they wanted to move forward on business. They legitimately told me they wanted to move forward, and I hadn't heard back. And they gave me all the right things, but I'm like, okay. So I sent a GIF, and I typed in the GIF line. What did I do wrong? So it put up a GIF. I just picked one and it's like, hey man, what did I do wrong? Like, what did I do? And sent it to him. It immediately got a response. Think about how people are communicating and all the different ways we have it. We have GIFs, we have the little reels, we have video, text, email, phone calls, social media. Sometimes you just need to change what you're comfortable in. And do something that changes the reaction of the people you're communicating with, right? Like if you're not getting the right engagement, probably look at and do something. Don't change your message, change your delivery so that you can get the engagement you're looking for.
I like that. I tell a lot of people, I coach a lot of athletes, train a lot of young people and things like that as part of entrepreneurship programs. And one thing that I tell them is that comfort is an enemy of progress. So if you're sitting
Sure
here just
is.
same comfortable version of what you're doing, shake yourself up a little bit, get a little bit uncomfortable, start speaking in GIFs. And a quick side tangent. I have two friends of mine that I don't speak the language, but their text message, if you were to open their text messages, it is only GIFs. They do not communicate using regular language. I mean, there might be the random like LOL or you talking about tomorrow, like on a quick, but there's 90% GIFs, 10% actual written language. And I think that's absolutely crazy. So yeah, that's really important. I'm going to echo to the audience again, do something that makes you uncomfortable in order to be recognized and heard by your audience. And I think that's so important. That way they can sit here and, instead of people hearing your message, which is just the acknowledgement of whatever sound, but they're going to listen, which means comprehend and process your message and hopefully act on it. So once again, I think this is gonna be a really good spot for us to just kind of hit the timeout button, go to commercial break. We're gonna jump to a commercial here real quick. We're halfway through the show. We've got a whole lot more Daryl, a whole lot Smart Wolf Consulting's wisdom coming through. So stay put right there. We'll be right back after these messages with Pivotal Change. Pivotal Change is going to keep rocking and rolling for the second half of the episode with more Daryl Steed. We've been having a great talk about how to make yourself be heard out of the noise with consistent messaging, authentic messaging, and we're just moving this conversation right along. And so Daryl, he is Smart Wolf Consulting, 15-year expert transforming the industry with automotive dealerships and workflow and leadership. But we talked about a little bit about getting uncomfortable. There is something that is uncomfortable for everyone. It's just part of human nature, and that is sometimes we don't live up to our expectations, or we just flat out fail. And I know, just we've talked off camera and before time that we've both made mistakes. We're human. We fail. We've been in uncomfortable positions in times. So I know Daryl's journey is not filled with just all sunshine and rainbows, but at some point, Daryl, you've experienced a failure, a place where you wanted to win and didn't get that, some type of setback. Can you share with us one time that you feel maybe pretty big and what it taught you about yourself?
Yeah, actually, I'll kind of do one in health. I think that kind of translates to a lot of people in life. Believe it or not, okay, I used to look like I ate me. I was just shy of 300 pounds and I'd gotten lazy. I'd kind of gotten complacent and I just wasn't taking things seriously. I always was really a big runner and fit and everything else. And so I did a challenge and I wanted to lose weight. And there was a lot of failures throughout that year. I did lose 98 pounds. I got, in
Awesome.
really good shape, but what didn't hit my goal was to lose. To be back to my high school weight, which was kind of silly, but I made a crazy goal. But there was a lot of failures of not doing things right, not doing, doing it the way that was going to be sustained. And then so when I got to the goal, then I gained a little bit of it back because I didn't do it the right way. And so it was one of those challenges where I said, you know what? Understanding I was gonna fail when I made a goal that was almost gonna be impossible to hit, but then it was just doing little things wrong. Was as long as I'm failing forward and I'm learning from that and creating progress, it was you have to accept those and then say, okay, what's next? Like now I run every day, I work out every day, and I'm never gonna be the size that like the ideal perfect body, right? But it's like I feel healthy, I feel better now at 45 than I did at 25. And so it's understanding doing the right things, whether it's diet, health, and things like that. And now I take that into my business, which makes it very understanding to deal with when people fail. It's just as long as we're like we talked about, as long as we're not making the same mistake 20 times, I'm okay with it as long as we're figuring out where did we mess up or where did we miss it and how do we get better from it.
I love that so much. And I want to point out to the audience something that Daryl did with that question is he took one category of his life, which was his physical health, and he learned lessons. He explained how he effectively kind of didn't do some of the details right. He was cutting some corners. So when he got to a goal weight, it wasn't necessarily done the right way, and there was a little bit of a swing back on that pendulum. But he did something that's intelligence to learn how to work out. Intelligence is being smart and how to diet and stay consistent. But wisdom is taking the intelligence from one category and applying it to another. So he said, look at my lessons in health and fitness, and I need to do this in my business. And I need to pay attention to the details and not cut corners, make sure the pendulum doesn't swing in the wrong direction with my business. And you can do that as an entrepreneur as well. Whatever area you're having success in, find the wisdom factor and apply it to business, apply it to your family, apply it to your community outreach or whatever that is. So it sounds like you kind of had a learning curve where you didn't use your failure just as failure. You maybe use it as an opportunity to redirect yourself or find a new place to. You said a phrase that I quote all the time is fail forward. You take your failures, you learn and move forward with them. So how did you learn to do that? How did you learn to view it that way?
Well, it was more of one of the like. I mean, I read a lot of books. My favorite author is Patrick Lencioni. I think everything he does is great. I actually got to meet him random occasion at a dealership, no less. He came to buy a car at a dealership I was actually training. I saw the license and I'm like, this has got to be the guy. I mean, who else looks like this guy and has this license? But I read a lot of his books, and then what it was I can talk about how I failed. And I can sit there and say, like, man, and internally beat myself up, right? Or I could say, how many people truly do this without having missteps? And realistically, that number's probably zero or one. And so I just said, you know what? I'm going to take this as if I stumble and I move forward, then it's a learning experience. If I stumble and find reasons to quit, then I'm basically hurting myself. So it was really just an embodiment of understanding. There's no such thing as perfect. And as long as I am moving forward and then using that in more than just one way. So it wasn't just health, it was really being disciplined to seeing this failure, going back and having self-reflection, being a little bit of vulnerable with myself. And then how can I apply this to my business as well so that it's not just one lesson, but potentially two lessons is kind of the mantra that I use in just everything in life is can we use this in more than one way?
I like that. You really were making failure not such a big deal. You're zooming out and saying there's other people that are remarkably successful. Nobody's done this without the setbacks, without the failures. So why would I be so hard on myself? Instead, let's adapt, let's overcome, let's make adjustments for success. And then again, you apply that wisdom factor, which I appreciate so much. And it sounds like along the road, there was probably an internal voice of some type you know, you're in your deep failure moment, you're realizing that you've failed or just not reached your goals or let someone down, there's going to be some self-talk in there. There's going to be some mindset, that inner dialogue. Tell us about that. Like, how should or how did you talk to yourself to get through that moment of failure and stay focused on the future?
Well, everything I do in life, and I'm not saying everyone's like this, so take it with a grain of salt, is I'm an all-in or all-out type of guy. This halfway measure type of thing doesn't work for me. And if it works for some people, God bless you, because I can't do it. But it was one of those, is like when I failed, I went like this. Did I give 100% on that day or that week or that month? And if there was even a moment of self-doubt of like, and I had to hesitate, then it's probably a no. Right. It's either a fast yes or a slow no, right? There's no in-betweens with me. So if I hesitate, I'd be like this, well, that's probably why I failed, because I wasn't all in that moment or that day or whatever it is. Because I've had workouts where I go to do it, and I've had jobs where I go to do it and I'm like 98% in, but it doesn't go as planned. I'm like, that's because I wasn't all in. And so it was just a real difference of, I know in order to be successful, it requires failure. There's no chance I'm going to be successful without some. But it also allows me to self-reflect. Did I fail because I wasn't all in or 100% into it? Or did I fail because I just was doing it or going about it in an ineffective way? And so you just kind of look at that, because I have had plenty of failures where I'm all in. The process or the mechanism or the execution was the wrong way. And then I've had failures where I know I wasn't 100% all in. So you have to be able to really be honest with yourself which one of those it is.
Yeah. And I think being all in is, you probably a very dynamic person to play poker with, even play if you're always all in or not. I'm just kidding. But the point is that you're sitting here and say, if I'm going to take on an endeavor, a project, a task, I want to give it that absolute best effort. What happens is when the human looks back, the hindsight is 2020, and said, did I really give my best effort? You know, you experience regret. I should have done better. I could have done better. And it didn't work because of me, which first of all, it's great that you're not placing blame other places. But I always tell people that, you know, there's many ingredients to success, but two of the primary ingredients are attention to detail and proper effort. So for example, you can go all in on golf, but if you're going to give maximum effort to your golf swing, you're going to either whiff or slice it into the woods. So the proper effort is that nice, smooth golf swing. So you can go all in on golf without having to maximum effort screw up what the actual scenario calls for. And I think there's a wonderful balance for there. And it sounds like you've dialed in that balance. So in this continuing conversation on maybe some losses or some failures, have you seen people get stuck in their failure, getting stuck with ever instead of a win, they had a loss? And what's the difference between learning and getting stuck in it?
In a word, mindset. I see a lot of people that when they fail, they become their own worst enemies. And the reason I didn't play into those voices is, or anybody else's judgment of me, is how is that going to help me? Like, how is that going to make me better by like the self-doubt, right? Like, if you're going to be confident in doing something, try something different or do something different. But it's the mindset, is going into anything, you have to understand two things. You're going to expect the best and plan for the worst, right? And you understand there's going to be some failures. The mindset is when they come, you knew this wasn't going to be flawless, is understanding like, okay, I already knew this was going to happen. And I knew I was going to have to deal with some adversity. Now, where the mindset really plays tricks on us is, how bad do you want it? Right? What we say and what we do is where we get trapped. And so like with my health journey, I wanted to do it, like more of a chip on my shoulder. Like someone told me it couldn't be done. So it was like, it was going to happen. But more importantly, internally, I wanted it because I have three kids, two of them younger, and I wanted to be able to do stuff with them that I couldn't. And now I can do, actually they can't keep up with me, which is kind of great.
Love it. And that's a little bit of bragging rights as dad there too, you know.
Sure is, sure is.
And I love just, again, the emphasis on having that right mindset, talking to yourself, making sure that you're examining, is this for my benefit? Is this for, you know, progress and pushing forward? And making sure that those thoughts are recurrent. If you need to write them down or have somebody else speak that to you as a defect, as an accountability token, have somebody help you and do that with you. So talking to the audience now, what's one area, even if it's a tiny risk or a tiny maneuver that they can make, that you would say, let's do this and build your courage. Let's do this and get it to where you're willing to potentially experience a failure so that you can grow and work through a loss.
So this one's going to be easy, guys. I would tell you to guys and go get a pack of 3x5 cards and cut them in half. So get a pack of whatever, I think it's 35 or 40 that come in it, cut it in half. And I want you to write either one word or one sentence that's very small, no like soliloquies, like just a sentence. And it's going to be all empowerment statements about you. You're great, you're beautiful, you're handsome. Or sentences like this: failure is just one step closer to progress. Right, things like that. And every single morning, you're going to rubber band these. And we're going to go a little bit old school, right? It doesn't always have to be tech, right? You go a little bit old school, you're going to rubber band these. You're going to write them all down. And every morning, okay, when before your workout, before you get your day going, before you touch your device, don't let this be the trap. Go through those and read each one of them. If you can, say them out loud. Because when you hear it and read it, it comes in further. But when you do that, you start your day out with empowering yourself rather than taking on the world without having the right mindset.
I love that so much. So you need to find a way, just like Daryl's method he just talked about, to empower yourself every day. It's a great place for us to pause and transition the conversation. So you're going to come back for some more empowering advice and wisdom from Daryl right after this pivotal change commercial break. Here we go. We are back for Pivotal Change, final push of tonight's episode. And if you like what you're watching, if you want to see more Pivotal Change, you don't have to miss a single moment. You can go find us on Now Media TV and all of their shows live and on demand anytime, anywhere. Again, I want you to go download the free Now Media TV app. You can get it on Roku. It's in iOS. You can get that instant access and enjoy this show and many others on Now Media anytime, anywhere, bilingual at the touch of a button. So go ahead and find that for the 24/7 live streaming. It is ready and available wherever you are. Now, we're going to finish the night off with Daryl Steed from Smart Wolf Consulting giving us his final nuggets of wisdom on this episode. Again, the leadership discussions, the mindset discussions. This is the man who is the expert and he knows what he's talking about. And we talked at the very beginning of the episode about the foundational things of servant leadership. And so we're going to get a little bit of a conversation about being able to serve, but let's see if we can do that without overextending ourselves and maybe sinking the boat, because leaders can get burnt out if they don't have harmony, if they don't have balance. So, Daryl, it's obvious that you are a giver, you are a servant. How do you set limits? Because one thing I was taught by one of my grandmas is that oftentimes givers have no limit, or givers have to place limits because takers do not have them. So how do you give yourself, again, being selfless from setting limits to those who might be selfish with giving?
That is a really good question. I will tell you that if you've ever watched the movie Yes Man, okay, you can learn some very comical insights from that. But when you say yes all the time, you might get yourself into some situations you didn't think you're going to get into. And I use that movie as levity a lot because I do say yes to a lot of things. And in my career before becoming a consultant and just in my career, and I found this out right before I became a consultant, so it actually helped me in being a consultant, was you can say yes to anybody that's wanting to do the work with you. You can't say yes to people that want you to do the work for them. And that's a really tricky thing to understand, and it really requires you asking questions of what their interest or what their involvement will be. And if they're looking for you to do their job for them, if you say yes, you just need to be understanding of what you're getting yourself into. I would recommend you never take on a relationship where you're doing the work for somebody. But if they say they're willing to be involved, then you set that expectation, you set those guidelines, and then you have to be the one to hold them to those so that they understand this isn't about you, it's about how we or us do this together.
I think that is such a key to something that I call vision alignment, cooperative relationships, partnering up with people. that gets really toxic really fast. If somebody says, "Hey, yeah," it's not like you're buying a product from somebody all the time that just says, "Hey, I want the cheeseburger from the fast food store, and I'll see you later. I want you to make the cheeseburger for me. Here's the money. I'm going." That's not a relationship. So if you're going to have a relationship that you're going to start saying yeses to people, you're emphasizing that they got to be willing to do the work with you in collaboration and share that load. And that follows, some really good models that we reference all the time. So I have something that I call the oxygen mask, the airplane model, where if we're going out, we need to be a servant. We need to start helping other people first. They may be in crisis. The airline tells you to fix your own oxygen mask first before attempting to help others. But once you get your oxygen mask on, you can't just sit there and watch other people perish, right? You've got to be serving, you got to help. What kind of had you realize that you need to be able to take care of yourself first in order to take care of others?
So I think that's the first thing, right? Is you have to be a little bit selfish, because if I'm not in a good space, if I'm not getting a head space, if I'm not in a good, how am I ever going to be there for you? And that's hard to do, right? Because we typically say, like, hey, like, make sure you take care of these people, or you, like, you're a giver or you're a selfless person. But you have to also understand, I can't do what I need to do for you if I'm not where I need to be. And I think that comes from being a parent, or a father figure, or a provider for my family. Is if I'm not in a good space, how do I provide for them? So you do have to be a little bit selfish about making sure you're in a good headspace, or making sure you're in a good place before you do those things.
Yep. And then one thing I don't normally do, but I'm going to challenge you on one thing. I don't think adequately preparing yourself is selfish, right? So let's say you say, "Hey, I want to do a job with somebody that requires heavy lifting, but I must first go to the gym and make myself strong." I don't think adequately preparing yourself for the heavy lifting would necessarily be a selfish thing. Now, you need those boundaries for sure, which feels selfish. But because you need to protect your family first, right, Daryl? That may be what you're talking about, is I need to be selfish to my family first, which is your priority. But I think preparation is important so that you can say, yes, you can work with this person. As your first statement said, hey, they should be lifting the load with you. If you're going to go do a job where you're lifting heavy boxes and you got to exercise to make sure you're fit enough to do that, they should be exercising too, and they should be fit enough to help. Because I think that's super important. I think you're right. You have to have that self-care. You have to adequately prepare yourself so that you're even capable of the service and the purpose. I think that's a pretty profound statement that you made. So if you're doing that, if you're going to take some of that time to keep yourself mentally available, spiritually healthy, physically healthy, financially healthy, do those things, there's got to be some type of reset or cushion for you to have peace, both mind and spirit, something like that, so you can fully invest, like you said, go all in helping others. How do you find the time for that?
Well, I think you have to make it a focus, right? I'm a big component of, if you don't focus on something and expect it to happen, and not to make light of the jack of all trades is, the conversation, right? Because if you actually know that phrase, is a jack of all trades is usually a better than a master of one. So, but at the same time, is you have to say, okay, if I'm going to focus on this, I have to make sure that that is a focus. So for me, I'm up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning every single day. And if I get up, the first 10, 15 minutes, really, I'm getting older, is to stretch my body out, because there ain't going to be anything moving around. And then I'm in the gym and I'm either running or I'm working out. And while I'm running, I'm listening to something motivational, a webinar, a class, something to learn, so I can maximize my time. I'm getting my body right, I'm getting my mind right. And then I get into emails, devices. And so you have to figure out, where do you need that? Do you need it before you go to sleep? Do you need that first thing in the morning? And you have to make it a focus. And like you said, it's not about being selfish. I use that word because that's how people look at it, is if you don't put yourself first, how do you ever serve others, right? And it's not about being selfish. It's, this is what I have to do so that I can give 100% to you. But if I don't do this, all I'm doing is robbing you of what I can provide. And you
Good
really have
point.
to have that focus on those things.
Good point. I like that. That's a great articulation there. And I really like how you get up first thing in the morning. I'm always telling people, get the screens, get the distractions. You and I are using screens right now. We're going to be plugged in on this entire episode for X amount of minutes. You've got to unplug from a screen. And it sounds like you're not necessarily just finding the time. You are programming the time into consistency, like we talked about just a little while ago, and you're making it just a part of the day. So you don't have to like wonder and scratch your head on a Monday versus a Wednesday versus a Saturday where I'm going to find the time to rest, recharge, and stay fit. It's built in, and you just need to find when that window is to your schedule to build it in the right way. So yeah, that's really good, and it's going to be there all the time for you if you program it in. So you're talking about working out in the morning, you're talking about, you know, getting the motivational books and audio and things like that. Is that your go-to recharge practice, or do you have maybe a grander thing that you do on occasion, like a special place you go to, or a vacation, or an activity that you do that's not part of the regular routine?
I do. So little things for different things, right? So I program it in because consistency habits take 6 to 7 days to form, and you don't even know what you have till you've done it. And if you don't do it every day, it doesn't become a habit. So for my mental, right, it's all about working out in the morning, getting myself right and doing that. But when that's not working, I go hiking. I'm lucky enough to live in California. So Northern California, some of the best hiking you'll ever see in your life outside of going overseas. And so if I'm in a place where stress is coming at me from every direction, I put my headphones in, I go on a hike, and I disconnect from everything. I also make time for my family. So family time is a big thing for me, because my dream when I was younger was I wanted to be a dad. Like, that was my dream. And so I didn't have a male role model, so I get to live my dream every day. So work is really just a caveat. So spending time with my boys and spending time with my wife is like, that time to me is how I center everything. So I have individual things I do for myself, and then I have things I do that not only bring my family together, but it gets everything back centered, because now I know what I'm working for.
I love that. And reminding yourself consistently what you're working for or doing it for is a powerful motivator. So last question of the night, really, what boundary or rhythm can you give someone that's listening or paying attention to this episode to put in place to help protect their energies? What's one nugget they can act on relatively quickly?
This will be one that probably you didn't expect. It's okay to say no.
Yeah.
It is okay to say no. If it does, even when you're going like this, I don't like to say no. I'm a servant leader. I want to serve. I like, and you have the 6 human needs, and one of them is you, like, you know, community, and you doing that. It's okay to say no the moment it takes more from you than it gives to them.
I like that. I like that. Well, Daryl, this has been absolutely fantastic. You have really shared so much of yourself with us on the show tonight. I can just truly imagine that somebody out there is going to want to find out more about you, get in contact with you. How do they find you and follow up if they want to get a hold of Daryl and his wisdom?
Well, you can find me. I have 2 websites. The first one is smartwolfconsulting.com. That is my main site. You'll see in the background, I also have one that's called Auto Street Smarts, which really deals with automotive and coaching and acquisition. And then if you guys are in the social media sphere outside of Snapchat, if you type my name in, Daryl Steed, Smart Wolf Consulting, any of those, you will find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Threads, pretty much anything but Snapchat. And
Daryl, thank you so much. This is an absolutely wonderful time having you on the show. Everyone, you got to hear about Daryl's journey all the way from rebuilding and trust to reclaiming your energy at the end of the night. So there's some really important things that we learned. Go ahead and follow us at nowmedia.tv. If you want to hear more, the Pivotal Change will always be available for you 24/7 on the streaming services. And in the meantime, I want you to go out into the world and see the change and be the change. And we'll catch you here next time on Pivotal Change.